gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Sometimes I look down and I'm so impressed with myself.
Why?
Well, just on today's show alone.
Right.
We have sexy liberal John Fugelsang, who's in today instead of tomorrow.
Right.
Carl Frisch, Shelley Wright, country
right.
music superstar. Mudcat, it's Mudcat Day.
Yep.
Mudcat Saunders and Gene Smart of Day. Of awesomeness.
Well, designing women,
and
recipe.
Comedic awesomeness.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. What a show.
I know, right?
All right. Well, I'll explain why Shelley's coming on, because she tweeted about Hannity canceling me last night.
Yep.
Because one of the reasons I said I'm not going to pre-tape is because she pre-taped an episode with Hannity once. It never saw the light of day. Because they thought she was like fill-in country singer here who agrees with everything Sean says.
Right.
And she was like, no, I'm not a Republican, Sean. No, not really for the Iraq war. That's somewhere in somewhere in the fox boneyard.
It was erased, I'm sure, right away.
It was disappeared in the cornfield.
She must be from the wrong country.
Yeah. All right. So we'll talk about all of that in the meantime. What's that sultry tone I hear from Neil?
I don't know how to love it.
Good morning, my personal comedy Jesus.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
What's the haps?
All right.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike.
Whoa. Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. That was surreal. I'm actually joining you from D.C. today.
Oh, pardon
Steppers.
Me.
Steppers, I'm in Bill Press's evil underground lair.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, I filled in for Bill, so I got to be your warm-up act again today.
We're just working you like a red-haired
stepchild. Yeah.
You'll be filling in for us the week after the Democratic Convention, in fact.
Yes, I am. Yes.
Indeed. All right. Oh, wait. I have a letter for personal comedy Jesus,
okay.
who blew the roof off the sucker in Columbus.
So I hear.
Oh, bless
Saturday.
Your heart. Can I say one thing about Columbus?
Yes.
Oh, what a great show! It was our second longest show ever of the tour.
Yes.
After Detroit, but
Mama was
wow.
a little chatty.
Mama was funny. Stephanie was on fire the other night.
Oh.
Hilarious. No, multiple applause breaks for her set. It was a great. Hal was funny. I showed up and didn't drool on stage. It all worked out. A crowd. See, Columbus, they've been waiting for a year and a half for the tour
awesome.
Of Power and Truth to come.
Columbus bitches be crazy.
Yeah.
They'd be crazy bitches up in Columbus.
They'd be the original crazy bitches.
But wow, they were a fantastic. They're the reason the show went so long, because they wouldn't stop applauding everything.
Bruce in Columbus with a love letter for you, John.
Okay.
Hey, Mama, thanks for coming to Columbus this past week and inspiring us all to get it together in time for November. The show was great. I wanted to share how John made my night, though. I was the short, starstruck spaz at the after party. Oh, that guy. Who managed to speak to you in nothing but vowels. Then I was so stunned by Hal Sparks' smile, I proceeded to spill Bombay Sapphire all over myself. By the time I made it to Fugelsang, I'd written off myself as a finalist for the Mitt Romney Social Awkwardness Award. But Comedy Jesus sensed this and was very gentle and patient with me. He purposely took his time and made me feel special. Now that's how you create fans, bitches. I will work over my cable company to get current in TV in time for his debut of the John Fugelsang Show on current television.
Oh, that's
See,
so
Comedy
kind.
Jesus.
I want to point out, Current will never allow a series to be called the John Fugelsang Show.
All right, whatever. What's it going to be called?
Yes, whatever my new name is by then. Well, that was lovely. It was really a great show. It was one of my favorite shows of the tour. Everyone did a lot of new material. And we had plenty to talk about this particular week.
Yeah,
And what a house. They've been waiting so long to bring this tour to Columbus, so it was really special.
Any week that Republicans say things, we have instant comedy.
Exactly.
It's like magic.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Speaking of fabulous comedy and...
Carl.
Here it comes.
What?
For exciting. WholeFightStrategies.com.
So inviting to me.
Uh-oh. Oh, we have my SDN. Okay.
Yeah, he's sitting right next to John Fugelsang.
We're holding hands right now, sir.
Good morning.
I'm all cattywampus. Good morning, Carl Frisch.
How are you?
I'm good, sweetheart. Thank you for your magical post. You are more sensitive about women's lady bits than I thought you would be.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm willing to come right out and say it, that Republicans are absolutely obsessed with vaginas.
Yeah.
And I realize that...
Finally, I have something in common with them.
Yes.
Yeah. I realize that maybe that would get me banned from speaking on the floor of the Michigan State Legislature.
That's what you say. Right. Like they did that one woman. Because you can have one, you just can't say it.
Right. They'd like nothing more than to cover vaginas in red tape. Government red tape.
It's all a crime scene down there to them.
Police tape, yeah.
Yeah, police tape, exactly.
It's the CSI Tampa, you know, Florida.
Yeah. Yeah.
If Republicans, including Romney, had wanted Aiken to abandon the Senate bid, as they now insist, shouldn't they not be telling Ryan to pack it in and move back to Janesville as well, since they co-sponsored the legislature? They're of the very same mind, aren't they, Carl Frisch?
Well, I mean, basically what it comes down to is the entire Republican Party is of the same mind.
Yeah.
Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan support something called personhood, which gives changes the meaning of human from what we currently know it as, you know, somebody who's born, to right after conception when there's a fertilized human egg, and that means that various types of birth control would be outlawed. It means that doctors who maybe make a mistake during an in vitro fertilization.
It would mean any woman that uses various forms of contraception would be murderesses.
Right. Or that if you have a miscarriage and your family is struggling to get through that emotionally trying experience, that they could require a woman to go through a medical examination to make sure that she didn't cause the miscarriage.
It also means that if life begins at conception, we're now allowed to drink at age 20 years, 3 months.
Yes.
I'd like to point that out.
Awesome. Okay.
Party
in the womb. Woot.
Woot.
Okay, let's dive into the right-wing world with Carl Frisch, shall we, kids? Here we go. Oh, hit this guy again.
Yeah.
Brian Fisher?
American Family Radio.
Yes. Yes, sirree. He's a, you know, leave it to him to suss out what the real assault is all about.
Everybody is gang tackling Todd Aiken. Oh. Now, you talk about a forcible situation. You talk about somebody being a victim of kind of forcible assault, that would be Todd Aiken.
Oh, my God.
You know who doesn't agree with that?
Who?
Todd Aiken.
Yes.
Wow.
Todd Aiken says that he misspoke and that, he's trying to cover his rear end the best he can.
Yes, and we know that in politics, misspoke means I'm very sorry for revealing what an incredible douchebag I actually am.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and, we should not forget who Brian Fisher is. Brian Fisher is a nut job who once said that too many Indian Americans were winning spelling bees.
Yes.
What?
So that's where he comes from. He's from the American Family Association.
No real American should be able to spell maze. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not that kind of Indian.
People from India.
Indian.
Oh, sorry.
Stephanie.
Oh.
Yeah. No American should know how to spell chutney. Why don't you go that direction?
Pardon me.
Yeah. So he's a complete creep and nutball who will back up any right-wing idiotic evangelical thing that a right-winger spouts.
Yeah, that was fairly horribly offensive. So he was saying that it's really not women being forcibly raped that's the problem. It's people pointing out that him making those comments, was it appropriate? That's the real
rape. And, for the last 2 weeks, Brian Fisher's been talking about how there needs to be an underground railroad to take the children of lesbian and gay parents away from them.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Right. There needs to be a homophobic Harriet Tubman. Yes,
sure.
I recall that.
Take them straight to India.
Yeah.
Where they can learn to spell chutney.
Shush. Okay. Oh, at least I get Sean Hannity in right wing world.
Yes, you do.
Have him, the magic of him live.
We talk about that? There was a lot of outrage on the interwebs. People were really excited. People actually set their DVRs to Fox.
I know.
I was not surprised, Stephanie. We've had this conversation before.
George Slattery mailed. He won his betting pool. He said that I knew there was no way Hannity was going to go head to head live.
Every couple months, I get a call from a nice young Fox News producer who finds me online somehow and says, would you like to come on Fox and Friends or Hannity or O'Reilly? Yeah. And I say, yes, I would.
Why, yes, I would.
And then an hour later, after they've Googled or run my name up the flagpole, we double booked, and maybe next time, and then I never hear from them ever again.
Well, I do Fox and Friends all the time, but after last New Year's Eve I was on, and I actually, got them to say the word sexy liberal on the air.
Oh, dear.
And after that, I've never been invited
back.
The only sexy they're interested is B-roll of Hooters waitresses whenever they're talking about
Hooters waitresses. Right. Yeah, and
this happened to me with O'Reilly. You could tell it was some hapless new producer. But no, Sean and I are friends of a sort. from our, you know, from radio. And right. So, no, this was deliberate. But what happened is I was going to pre-tape.
Mm-hmm.
They asked me to pre-tape, and then I thought better of it. I went, no way. They're gonna edit me. They're going
to... To make you sound like an insane...
So I said, no, I'm going to do it live. The producer's like, okay, you know, whatever to make you feel comfortable. I'm like, oh, and I know that's your primary concern at Fox, is making your liberal guests feel comfortable. And then sure enough, I bet you when Sean got in and found out I was live, I was like, she's like, oh, we've re-shared the show.
Yeah,
and
there's studio's flooded.
We're so glad we're in contact, because in the future.
I was quite looking forward to you saying something along the lines of, look, I don't support President Obama.
edited with a meat axe.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting because I watched the show last night wondering why couldn't they have Stephanie on, and I realized it was because Sean had to have a very important conversation about Israel with noted Jew Liz Cheney.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I saw that. I thought maybe I was going to interrupt there the Brokeback Mountain scenes with Paul Ryan from Monday. Okay, Sean, here he is.
Democrats are desperately attempting to tie the Republican presidential and vice presidential contenders to the recent controversial comments made by embattled Missouri Senate candidate Todd Akin.
But
that's right, despite
Republican.
The fact that Mitt Romney and his running mate, Paul Ryan, immediately denounced the congressman's
immediately?
Comments
no.
and called for him to drop out of the race, while the left, liberals, are pathetically attempting to suggest that Romney and Ryan actually agree with Akin.
They had me on pre-taped, let's go to liberal Stephanie Miller, and I would have said, I hate my vagina. And that'd been it. And then, okay, that's
sure.
all she had to
Obama
say.
Obama is a kin. Yeah.
Number one, liberals are the ones begging Akin to stay in the race.
Yes.
Yeah.
The only reason that Mitt Romney, Paul Ryan, and the right-wingers want Akin out of the race is because they didn't want him in as the nominee in the first place. Claire McCaskill made the smart political move
right.
a few months ago before the primary of running some creative ads that got him elected to be the Republican nominee.
Which is what Obama should have done for Herman Cain.
No,
exactly.
Instead my father starred in Herman Cain videos.
That's right.
All right.
Google it. It's scary.
Google it. All right. 18 minutes after the hour. Back with more Right Wing World with Carl Frisch as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Try to be paid for goodness
okay.
sake.
All right.
Otherwise you're going to have all idiots. We're listening to your program.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Speaking of unbelievable. How's everybody enjoying my sea bass?
Ugh.
Smell bass. I don't need to see it.
Wow, that's terrific bass.
All right, 1-800.
Wow, that smells like ass.
1-800.
Yeah, you guys in D.C., be glad you're not here.
Mm.
Oh, my God. Is Stephanie setting off the smoke alarm with last night's dinner again?
Yes.
You know, last time I was there, she brought out like a 9-course meal of Greek tzatziki and all kinds of other things.
Yes. Well, she brought sea bass today. Leftover sea bass.
Just be grateful current does not come in smell-o-vision.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Stuart Varney on Hannity's show last night.
Why is he staying in this? He knows the stakes.
Bacon.
He knows what he's done, but he says, I'm going to do what's right.
I don't think he does know the stakes.
Stephanie?
So they had time for Stuart Varney and not me. I would have some thoughts about Todd Akin.
If you had gone on the show, I would have paid to hear you do it with an English accent.
Yeah. As an American.
That's right, Sean Hannity. I don't like this Akin chap either. I'm the one British person who hates our national health system, so they brought me to America.
Okay. Rush Limbaugh on the Todd Akin situation.
I didn't issue a formal fatwa. Folks, if I had demanded Akin drop out, he'd be gone.
If I had demanded that
Akin quit the campaign, he'd be gone. I didn't do it.
Oh.
And I didn't say that whatever Akin says is going to dog Romney.
Hmm. Wow, so he's admitting he's the head of the Republican Party.
I'm not defensive.
And you know, Rush is right. When he issues a fatwa, you know it.
It's the fattest of the fatwas.
But wasn't that a rare case of Rush actually admitting that he is the man who runs the Republican Party?
Yeah, thank you.
That's what he is. And, you know, people forget that in 1994, when Republicans won control of Congress back for the first time in 50 years, they made Rush Limbaugh an honorary member of their delegation, an honorary congressman.
Yes.
Rush Limbaugh. He's got a bust outside of the state capitol in Missouri. And had he said something, Aiken would have been toast.
Yep.
But it's interesting that all of these people like Mitt Romney couldn't get, you know, Aiken out of the race, which shows their lack of gravitas.
Right.
Right.
But all it took was Reince Priebus saying, you can't come to our convention for this Aiken character to say, okay, I won't go to the convention. What's it say about Mitt Romney that he can't do something that Reince Priebus can do?
Yeah.
Because Reince Priebus, get things done!
When he gives an order,
yes.
Trust me,
you will follow my orders.
The trains are going to run on time in Tampa. Okay.
Well, if the hurricane doesn't blow through.
Yeah, Hurricane Carmel.
The hurricane build-up comes through Tampa.
Well, you know who's going to cause the hurricane to come to Tampa? It's those gay Republicans, the go
Thank
crowd
you, Carl.
People.
Thank yep. you. Yes. You're right.
What's Pat Robertson going to say for hurricane hits the Republican convention? Well, what is God saying? I
what
can't
did he say when he hit the last one? Nothing.
Stephanie, if it does, he'll say this is good weed.
Yeah. Yes. He's pro-pot.
All right,
When I was a kid in 86, that was when Hurricane Gloria was going to hit Pat Robertson's Broadcasting Center in Virginia.
I lived in that area of Virginia at that time.
Mm. So does my family.
Yeah.
But Pat Robertson prayed, and instead it went to Long Island, where it killed many people, including all the trees in my front yard. And Pat Robertson said that was because the folks on Long Island didn't pray hard enough.
Oh.
That's how much of a fake Christian we're dealing with here.
Only to Pat Robertson is the weather like spiritual Yahtzee.
Good line, Carl Frisch.
Spiritual with the tip Yahtzee the for the win. All right. Megan Kelly on Fox News.
We're talking about, as I mentioned, this Congressman Aiken, who, you know, said this ridiculous remark that's gotten criticized from both sides, from everybody across the board, right? On rape and legitimate rape. And that's a story. Obviously, the guy's running for Senate, could affect the balance of power. But is it as big a story as it has been played this week? Or is that something that plays into a narrative that people, in particular, who don't like Republicans, who don't like the Republican stance on social issues, are using to try to create a narrative? And many in the mainstream media go along.
You want to know?
See, it's our fault that Republicans say stupid things. Yeah. You see how good we are?
You want to know who you should ask whether or not the story has gotten enough attention? The 1 in 4 women who are victims of sexual assault in their lifetime.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to tell you, Carl, this is I can talk about this later. I got an email from some incredibly powerful women there are women. This has really hit a nerve in this country.
Are you talking about my spiritual leader, Cher?
All right, Eric Bowling, Fox and Friends.
The GOP convention has named the Tuesday speeches. We built this in response to that Friday the 13th gaffe that President Obama made
in
Virginia when he was off the teleprompter. So they're taking it, they're running with it, and Paul Ryan in the same spot is going to say, hey, we did build this. I think it's a great thing because when President Obama said you didn't build that, he kind of exposed what he's all about. He's a big government guy. You have to thank government for everything you have.
No, that's not what he said.
If you build a business, it's their fault.
It's teamwork.
Us and the government.
I think it's fitting, Carl.
So you built the roads.
I think it's fitting, Carl, that the theme of their convention is built around a lie.
Exactly.
It literally is. The whole theme we built that is built around it.
First of all, I'm calling day two of the convention Sit on This and Spin.
Yes. By the way, Rocky Mountain Mike has some alternate GOP convention slogans as opposed to We Built That.
Okay.
Taking Our Country Back to 1957.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. We've Always Been at War with East Vagina. Give Those Slouchers Vouchers.
Okay.
And Oh Beautiful for Privatized.
Hey!
We're helpers.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the themes of the convention have been being tested by Fox News for the last year.
Yeah.
These are the things that Fox is basically telling them they have to run. I wonder if there's a connection to, whether or not Fox is going to pick up much of the convention as to whether or not they'd pick the themes.
But I want to point out, Mitt Romney has been spreading this whole We Built This thing, and he's had the support of the right-wing media and the politicians on the GOP, so he didn't build that lie on his own. He had help.
Hey! By the way, if there is a hurricane, I'm sure they certainly don't want that Kenyan to send FEMA in, because that would be big government.
Yes.
Right.
They don't need any help.
As opposed to the taxpayer-funded building they're holding their convention in.
All right. Go ahead, honey.
I thought they should, if they want to privatize everything, they should have had their convention in Haiti.
There you go.
Thank you, Carl Frisch. Right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Who the hell do I have to screw to get laid around here?
What's that from? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. It's Thursdays with Sugal Singh.
What?
John is... What are you doing tomorrow? You're filling in for Bill Press again?
I'm here in our nation's capital filling in for Bill Press.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Yes. So it's Thursdays with John Sugal Singh.
And
instead,
yeah,
so
Bill's at Burning Man. they asked me to come on in and clean out the glow sticks out of his desk.
Sure, right. Sure. He's a wild man, that Bill Press. I've been on the road with him. All right, 1-800-STEPH-12. Hey, I hope they include these fun facts at the RNC.
What?
We've been talking about their slogans and all their fancy sets and all that. Democrats versus Republicans by the numbers.
Oh.
This is the last 50 years. I've got me a fancy graph, and it's on a flag, so you know it's American. this is in the last 50 years. I just did a little handy-dandy chart. years held the presidency, Republicans 28 years, Democrats 22 years. Total jobs created by Republicans, 24 million. 42 million created by Democrats. Oh, my.
Huh.
Stock market return, 109% under Republicans, 992% under Democrats.
Wow.
That's how bad we are for the economy. That's yikes. Stock market return annualized 2.7% under Republicans, 11% under Democrats. GDP 2.7 under Republicans, 4.1 under Democrats. Income growth under Republicans the last 50 years, 0.6%. Democrats 2.2%.
Whoa.
Bloomberg, Politico, U.S. Department of Labor, official statistics.
Nice.
I certainly hope they'll include that on the scroll.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. I'm sure they'll be front and center at the Republican convention.
Yes. All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Let's go to Barbara in Pennsylvania. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Barb.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to point out that Paul Ryan and Todd Akin are so concerned about fetuses, they want to cut food stamps and Medicaid so they can't eat or get health care after they're born.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I'm sure they'll include the latest polling information as well. NBC Wall Street Journal poll, Obama holds a national lead.
Yep.
Oh dear. Paul Ryan's debut on the national stage has attracted big crowds and plenty of fawning from Republican leaders. Oh, by the way, yeah, I tuned in to Hannity to just take a peek last night. A lot of fawning over Paul Ryan.
Yeah, there was.
Oh, the energy. Mm-hmm. Oh, there wasn't a seat left at that Ryan rally. Oh,
he's so
awesome.
Bold. He's bold.
He's courageous.
Especially when he flip-flops on his own opinions now. Mm-hmm. He's very bold. He's done two flip-flops in 2 weeks.
Yeah, but a new national poll shows his presence on the ticket has not done much to boost Mitt Romney's campaign. NBC News, Wall Street Journal, first major polls taken after he became the VP choice, shows President Obama with a 4-point lead, 48% to 44%. Mitt Romney is starting to accumulate a number of negatives on the personal and issues front.
Uh-huh.
Are there any other fronts? According to the pollster, Mitt Romney has a lot of repair work to do with his image, says the pollster. Ryan's national image is a wash, 33% favorable, 32% unfavorable in this poll. 48% have a positive view of the president, FYI.
Well, yep. Again, this is that left-wing reg, the Wall Street Journal,
sure.
And you need to qualify that because this is a liberal publication. It's the same poll, by the way, NBC Wall Street Journal. It shows that Mitt Romney now enjoys zero support among African Americans.
I was going to say that. He has a 94-0% lead.
That's lower than George Bush.
Yeah.
Yes.
Remember George
That's
Bush?
Lower than McCain.
We were fascinated with the statistic with George Bush. He had a 2% approval rating among African Americans, and we were saying that's within the margin of error.
Yes.
So mathematically, John, it is possible that more black people than are actually alive hated George Bush.
Yeah,
maybe
the
black poltergeist, black fetuses.
The black poltergeist fetuses.
Yes. Right?
Well, I want to point out, though, Governor Romney does lead with white non-millionaires who think millionaires have it rough.
Right, exactly. I'm sorry, Chris. Another statistic?
No. I was just going to say there is a 3.1% margin of error, but that...
Right.
Yeah,
so
in this
it's
poll.
The same thing.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
But certainly they've got the women all tied up. Literally.
Sure. Let's see. We still have old white people. Who could we pick? The guy that wants to destroy Medicare.
Yes, perfect. I'll bet you some sprites and fairies are, well.
I think, John, this may be the lowest percentage of the women vote, that a candidate ever gets if we keep going.
Well, there's a lot of self-loathing women in this country, so don't rule them out.
Yeah. Romney's personal favorability rating remains underwater, as pollsters say. The pick.
Ugly.
Mitt Romney's personal favorability rating is indeed.
Ugly.
Oh, dear. The VP pick has had less of an impact on voters than previous running mates have had, wrote the pollster. So, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, it literally has been mostly just fawning by, Fox News, essentially. Okay, let's go to Joanne in Maryland. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joanne.
Oh, hey, Steph.
Hi.
Can I be the official retired school teacher representative of the Stephanie Miller Show?
The official what?
Retired school teacher.
Retired.
Oh, I thought you said.
Okay.
not dead, retired.
Oh, okay.
Okay, 40 years ago, the Todd Akins of the world were called male chauvinist pigs.
Yes.
Now we call them Republicans.
Yes.
Yes, there you go. I would burn my bra over that if I... Does a sports bra count?
Sure.
You're already a feminist if you're wearing a sports bra.
It makes you look like a surfboard.
Shush.
What?
Sports bra is like a really uptight tank top.
I'm spinning after this.
A really uptight tank top.
Angela in Maryland. Hi, Angela. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yes?
I would like to be the official physically challenged accounting superhero of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow.
All right, then.
We needed one.
Yes. That opened up just this morning.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I wanted to pick up on a point that the very handsome John Fuel sang on his show earlier.
Yes.
The only good thing Republicans have done in the last 20 years is the ADA. I would not have a career without the ADA.
Thank you, Sandy.
And the thing of it is that Rand Paul has problems with the ADA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
and so does
Paul
Ryan.
Ryan does too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And these Republicans just make me sick. I've had to, had a bottle of ginger ale handy to watch the news this week, and it's just really disgusting.
All right.
To settle your...
Right, yes, right.
But this is the biggest problem with the libertarian argument, that they are against the ADA. There's been nothing government has done in my lifetime that makes me as proud to be an American as the Americans with Disabilities Act, and it happened under a Republican president. I can't think of any government law passed that's that inspiring to say that we are a moral, evolved, and decent society as the ADA.
I think you forgot to send me that article I asked for from the LA Times. It was a great piece, I think it was yesterday, about how, there's been so much talk, John, about Medicare and all, what Ryan's plan will do. One of the things that they have not really focused on is how badly this is going to hurt the disabled.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I printed that out for you yesterday.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
All right, then I must have that somewhere.
You do.
Okay.
Exactly.
Are you guys going to fight right now?
Senator Barbara Boxer, B-Box,
yes,
rocks,
she rocks,
as we've mentioned many times on this show. She said there is a war against women, and Romney and Ryan, if they are elected, would become its top generals. She said, labeling Akin's comments a direct outgrowth of what she sees as the extreme abortion views held by the GOP. Where is the outrage by Mitt Romney? She said there is a sickness out there in the Republican Party, and I'm not kidding. Maybe they don't like their moms or their first wives. I don't know what it is. Mommy issues, anyone?
Yeah.
Perhaps.
I actually met someone who was upset about the ramps put in the curbs for people in
really?
Wheelchairs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somehow that
what?
Ruined her
slackers.
Life.
Slackers. They can't even make it over a curb.
God, this makes me so mad.
It makes it easier for everybody. You don't have to step up.
God, government, big government, intrusion.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
By the way, we posted a couple of great pieces up on the my Facebook page.
Uh-huh.
I said quizzically.
Yes.
As if I've seen it? Okay. Jezebel.com has an hilarious piece called Rape Fatigue in You When There's Just No Anger Left.
Right.
It's just, and there's a picture of all the Republicans, and it just says, oh, shut the up. Aaron Gloria Ryan wrote it. It's hilarious. She writes, since around 2 p.m. on Monday, I felt like a contestant on a sadistic Japanese game show, donning an American flag bikini and a blindfold, covered in glue and standing in a phone booth trying to catch dollar bills with my flailing arms as an industrial-strength blower propels cash around me at high speeds. But instead of cash, I'm trying to process and react to a veritable blizzard of ignorant, rape-related bull... flowing unabashed from the mouths of conservative lawmakers in America. I am at full rape capacity. I'm officially in the throes of rape fatigue.
Yes.
Anyway, it's a long piece. You got to go read it. But she finishes by saying, hang on a second. I'm going to need my bleep button. Eventually, a person gets to the point where they can no longer withstand the constant blitzkrieg of bull... So Steve King, Todd Akin, and shouty Twitter conservatives, you win. Rape outreach limit has been reached. I have given this all of my... And I have given her still not enough... F words. So many more need to be given, and I have exhausted my supply. The are on back order. Employees are working overtime to restock my But in the meantime, please accept this 10% off coupon while we wait for the to arrive via FedEx. It'll be over. I'll be over here drinking wine from a Pac-Man mug and watching cartoons.
You know who else is an asshat?
Who?
Judge Tom Head. Is that who you are?
Oh, yeah. Huh?
What's
this
about? He's the guy who says there's going to be civil war if Obama is reelected.
He's the mayor of Crazy Town.
Yeah.
He endorses civil war.
I've got that when we come back.
Yeah.
By the way, noted sexy liberal Hal Sparks yesterday, Lois from Durham, says, as for date rape, I think Hal Sparks put it best. There's no such thing. Once the raping starts, date's over.
Yeah.
All right. So lots more to come on all of this. In fact, we'll tell you what the
Ass
sheriff.
Hat.
Yes. Sheriff Asshat said.
Sure.
As we continue. 45 minutes after the hour, it's Thursdays with
Thing.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-1-2.
Stephanie Miller.
Uptown to the Beacon, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. 49 minutes after the hour, October 27th, New York City, Sexy Liberal, the Beacon, off the hook, all four Sexy Liberals, John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and Aisha Tyler, and me. I'm the fourth. I would be the fourth. Get it,
yeah,
get
you're,
it.
You're like Tracy playing the tambourine.
Yes,
you're the
that's
first.
Me.
You're what we call audience bait.
All right, sex. Oh, and we have some pictures up from Columbus, I believe, at sexyliberal.com.
Tons and tons.
Sexy Liberal on Facebook, et cetera. All right, Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang in the D.C. Bureau. What's up with that?
Mm. Yeah, right.
All right. Jim, here you go.
Hmm?
Who said, this is speaking of the president, of course, he's going to try to hand over the sovereignty of the United States to the U.N., and what is going to happen when that happens? Who said that?
John Lindsay.
What the hell? Sheriff Head.
Oh.
Or no, Judge, I'm sorry. Judge Head. Judge Head.
Yeah.
Don't judge. Don't judge Head.
Yes, exactly. Judge Head.
He's
don't
a
judge
Lubbock.
Head.
He's a Lubbock County judge of Lubbock, Texas.
Great.
He went on to say, hang on a second, where's my, can you give me my deliverance music, please? Oh,
sure.
I got it.
Okay.
He said, I'm thinking the worst, civil unrest, civil disobedience, civil war, maybe. Oh, if Obama gets reelected?
Yeah,
civil war.
You tried that once before.
Sure.
Didn't work out
so
well.
Oh, I see. He'd like to reverse the civil war, so.
As in, the South will rise again?
Sure.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, well, what does that mean when people say that?
You know what that means?
That means slavery again. That's what that means.
That means we got to keep people as pets again.
Yep. I mean, Zeke Heil, y'all.
Uh-huh. And we're not just talking about a few riots here, demonstrations. We're talking Lexington, Concord, take up arms and get rid of the guy. Now, what's going to happen if we do that, if the public decides to do that? He's going to send in U.N. troops. I don't want them in Lubbock County. So I'm going to stand in front of their armed personnel carrier and say, you're not coming in here. And the sheriff, I re-asked him, I said, you're going to back me? And he said, yeah, I'll back you. I said, well,
I don't want a bunch of rookies back there. Okay. I want trained, equipped, seasoned veteran officers to back me.
Wow. So that happened. That's a conversation that happened in America, ladies and gentlemen. Okay.
On the TV.
Wow. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. I wonder if they had a GoToMeeting over that. The sheriff and the judge. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the try it free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use that promo code Stephanie. Okay.
I don't think he's going to need U.N. troops. He can send in the SEALs, Navy SEALs.
Yeah.
They'll make quick work of that band of hooligans.
Okay. All right. Fred in Manhattan. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Fred.
Hi, Steph, Chris, Jim, John. Two quick things. Manhattan is about to have its first fracking well.
What could possibly go wrong?
Bloomberg announced it 2 weeks ago. There has been no media coverage. West Side Highway, 15th Street, running to the Whitney Museum on the new High Line.
Wow.
Okay. And he put $20 million in Whitney's back pocket, okay, in order to get them to sign on. He sold public property without state approval, $2.7 million to the company Spectra, which you know in California.
Well, there goes
so
that famous...
That's an alert that I wanted to give you.
What's that?
There
goes that famous New York drinking water.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, there's an earthquake fault right under Manhattan.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, there's that, too.
Yeah.
What could possibly go wrong there? All right. I love this. I think this is from Smirking Chimp. They have named GOP celebrates Rape Unawareness Week. After Steve King backed up Todd Akin and Steve also King? Said he's never heard of a child getting pregnant from statutory rape or incest.
Huh. So it can't
never
be.
Never happens.
He's never heard of it.
Mm. Yeah. Exactly. Oh, by the way, we also posted, did you see this, an open letter to Representative Akin from a woman who got pregnant from rape? She's been on TV this week.
Right.
Shauna Pruitt, and she's awesome. She had the baby, and she wrote a great open letter. She writes, Dear Representative Akin, my name is Shauna Pruitt. You don't know me, but you should. I'm one of the approximately 25,000 women who every year become pregnant as a result of rape. I would like to help you better empathize with my story. I do not know if in your terms it was legitimate rape. Yes, I cried hysterically. Yes, I fought till my body ached. And yes, I changed afterward in ways I couldn't ever imagine. She goes on to tell her whole story. So, Representative, your statement poses another setback to the cause that I've fought passionately for since my life changed forever when I was raped and became pregnant from that rape at age 21, but your statement has not landed on deaf ears or weak legs. My rape did not end my life in a profound way. I've become a stronger person after my rape. I will fight to extinguish your inflammatory statements just as ardently as I fought to reclaim a vibrant life. I hope you will find my concerns legitimate.
Wow.
It was powerful stuff. Yeah. You got to read. She has a daughter now from the rape, but you know, it's just. I'm telling you, this has hit a chord with women that I've never seen before. It really has. John Fugelsang, we've been learning so much about magical vaginal powers that apparently I lack. Rob Brooks from the University of New South Wales on the Conversation website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He questioned whether Akin was confusing human biology with that of the Australian black field crickets.
Very possible.
Well,
yesterday we discussed magical duck bajajays, which have apparently, it's like a corkscrew. It can twist the phallus the other way to prevent rape. They have anti-rape devices in there because ducks are notoriously rapey.
And who hasn't done that? He among you who hasn't confused us with crickets can cast the first stone.
It's a species for whom, would you like this scientific fun fact?
Sure.
It's like science deck every day now.
Should I read it in an Australian accent?
No, that's all right. Thank you. Australian black field crickets, Chris, they're a species for whom forced copulation is impossible.
Oh, dear.
Quoting from the study.
Okay.
She has to mount him voluntarily, and she is unlikely to do so unless he has a sexy song.
Little Barry White.
I'm bringing sexy back.
Like Nelly.
Yeah.
By the way, Nelly is not legitimate rap, but go on.
But once she has mated him, and he has attached a bag of his sperm.
A bag?
Right, to her abdomen, she often chooses to remove it before its entire contents enter her body. It's like, I don't know, paper or plastic. It's a bag. It's not.
Right.
Just, here's a bag of sperm.
Sounds like something that that Dan Aykroyd would have. A bag of glass, bag of sperm,
bag of vipers.
Bag of vipers.
What?
Perhaps this is the kind of thing Todd Akin had in mind. The scientist went on to say, an entire political party in one of the most advanced and educated countries on Earth has become a caricature of the most basal, evolved insecurities about masculinity. They seem terrified of losing control over the means of reproduction and petrified of cuckoldry. That was a scientist just scientifically looking at Republicans in America going...
Really, because some guys love that. There's a whole fetish community.
I've seen the websites.
Uh-huh.
Here, honey, I brought you a bag of sperm.
That's that internet-based research that you're... Sort
yes,
of
that I'm right, that I do.
She has the choice to just go, get it off me. Right, Bob in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bob.
Hello.
Hello.
Good morning. I just wanted to say that the simple question to Mr. Ryan would be, why did you put the un-American term forcible rape in your H.R. 3 bill?
Thank you.
And and the reason why I say that, if you make the sentence any longer, they'll slip away and slime away. You know, it's almost like you got to be a scientist to narrow the sentence down so tight. And so that they can't slip away. And his reply naturally has to be, the goal of their reply is to make sure it sounds good in a soundbite after the fact. And they're willing to risk looking like idiots in the short term more than normal than having a soundbite that could go on later to do them in. That's basically that.
Yep.
And I had a quick joke after.
Yes, please. Please finish with a joke.
Yeah. And
When Paul Ryan was told, this is kind of serious. When Paul Ryan told Mitt Romney that his budget would make his tax rate less than 1%,
yes.
Mitt swung around. He freaked out, and he refused, saying, how many times do I got to tell you? I'm not raising anybody's taxes.
I see what you did there. See, because that would be a lot of taxes for Mitt Romney compared to the zero that he apparently pays now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was a joke, John. All right.
Well, under Paul Ryan's budget, he will pay 0.82% of taxes, of his income in taxes. So less than 1% for the 1%.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Mm-hmm. And what's not fair about that?
Yeah. By the way, can I just say what Paul Ryan's biggest flip-flop of the year? He's already backtracking now. They asked him, like, yesterday so many times about what's-his-face. But here's what he said. He doesn't like Ayn Rand anymore. He likes Thomas Aquinas. And Thomas Aquinas is the guy who said man should not consider his material possession his own, but as common to all, share them without hesitation, which makes Paul Ryan a commie.
The official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show, Shelley Wright, to share our Hannity experiences next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Mudcat, it's Mudcat Day.
Yep.
Dave Mudcat Saunders joins us, along with Gene Smart coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Big show.
John Fugelsang.
My personal comedy Jesus is in the D.C. Bureau. Sexy little John Fugelsang.
Yeah.
Good morning, children.
Yeah, hello. Judith Wright Steph and handsome and romantic guys, Chris and Jim. This arrived in time for your Broadway appearance. She got her tickets. She sent me her ticket stubs, John. She's got Sexy Liberal New York, October 27th. Very exciting.
Awesome. It's going to be a huge show.
Huge.
It's so big, I'm moving into the neighborhood just to handle it.
Yes,
huge.
You are.
Yeah. And Seattle coming up next, September 29th, Mama's birthday, so check it out. All right, look at this. Oh, did you see this love story that was written yesterday in Talkers, the Talk Radio Bible? It said two of radio's brightest performers from different ends of the political spectrum, Premier Networks and Fox News Channel stars Sean Hannity and WYD liberal talk maven Stephanie Miller will be on TV together this evening Hannity's Fox News program at 9 p.m. Eastern. Miller and Hannity have always had a playful and entertaining professional relationship, something they've exhibited for attendees at numerous talkers media seminars over the years. They're a great example of stars who couldn't be farther apart politically but can come together professionally and put on a great show.
Why don't you marry him, Steph?
Yeah.
Why don't you marry him?
And then just another love story gone wrong for Mama because Sean's a big... Okay.
You know what? Next time he invites you on his show, you should go dressed as Wilma Flintstone.
I don't think there's going to be a next time.
I don't believe there's going to be a next time. Yeah, we sent out an e-blast.
Yeah. Oh, I got it.
Yeah, said Steph's scheduled appearance on Hannity tonight on Fox News has been canceled. We guess Sean forgot to wear his cup to work today and was too scared to take on Mama Live. Hannity released a brief statement about this. Meow. Yeah. Okay. So I immediately got a text from my good friend, the official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show. Here she is, Shelley Wright is in the house.
Hey, Shelley.
Hi, Hollywood. Hey, John. Hey, everybody.
Hi, Shelley.
It's fascinating. This is fascinating to me.
Hi, Country Roads. What's going on?
Hi, Hollywood. Well, I wanted to call in to express my delight, I suppose is the word, that Sean couldn't take you on live. I think it's brilliant.
Well, you know, I read your book as a cautionary tale. It's my Bible, my inspiration, and also my cautionary tale, because you have a story in there about Hannity. Go ahead, and I remembered it, so go ahead and tell your...
I do, and it was, I had been on a couple of times. Sean and I were IM buddies. I mean, he still pops up on my IM list. And he had me on because I had just taken a trip to Iraq and Kuwait and Afghanistan, and I'd written a song called The Bumper of My SUV, very not political, very patriotic. So he had me on the show, and he said something about, we'll come back after break. You're a good Republican girl. And I said, what? And I said, no, actually I'm not. And he said, oh, really? I figured you were. And I said, well, I guess you would think that, but I'm not. And so he said, what do you have issues with the president? And I said, I do. And I named a couple. Well, then they invited me to come sing. It was a big hit at the time. They invited me to come sing it on their TV show. I did it. It was in the can.
and it never aired, and they never had me back.
Well, because you pre-taped, obviously. So you were obviously booked as fill-in country star here who agrees with everything Sean says.
and the time that I sang Bumper of My SUV live, I was on with Alan and Sean, and I took a couple of jabs, you know, just in fun and political jabs at Sean, and I sided with Alan on a couple of issues, and that it never made it to air.
Straight to the cornfield. Straight to the cornfield.
You were the silence of the lambs. You were just in the...
Thrown in the dirt hole.
You were thrown in the dirt hole and put the lotion on your arms.
Bane threw you down that cement prison hole.
Sean is incredibly, you know, of course he's incredibly smart and informed. I would love to see the two of you live. It would be the best TV going.
Why, it would be delightful. But I remembered that part in your book because I was supposed to go pre-tape yesterday, and then I thought better of it. I thought, I remember like my friend Shelley Wright who magically got disappeared. And the other thing is being able to be edited so that so you look like an idiot. So
all I have to say is well done, Grasshopper. Well done.
Thank you. I have learned at your side. So, I said I'll do it live. The producer's like, okay. And then I think, when Sean found out, suddenly the show was just reconfigured. I don't know what happened. But I love, and this was before you came out, right? So he didn't even know you were an icky gay at this point.
Didn't even know.
No.
None the wiser.
No. Yeah, I mean, isn't it incredible? It's just talk about labels, right? He just assumes every country star feels exactly the same way about everything, right?
Yeah, and he's very close with a lot of country artists, and I think that he thought it not only because I was a country artist, but because I was doing tours in the Middle East for the troops and had been for a long, long time, and he just, he stereotyped me, and he profiled me, and that's one of the reasons I'm really proud to have come out, is I'm as patriotic and as in support of the troops and their lives and their efforts as I've ever been, but I'm a Nikki gay. I am a Nikki gay.
Right, the best kind. Oh. Remember, it's only dirty if you're doing it right. Now,
Stephanie Louise Miller.
Chris, my point, Shelley, is that, as we all know, you're my gay whisperer. You got me to come out of the closet, and I got you to come out of the political closet last time. You were on.
You did.
That kind of made some news there.
I was on air for that.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's no way this is the clearest choice we've ever had, I think. And so, not just as women, obviously, with all this stuff going on lately, but as gay people, right?
Well, absolutely. As anyone who's really employing their compassionate intellectual brain, yes, this is the only choice we have. I mean, here's the thing. Mitt Romney, I was watching a bit of news last night. Mitt Romney, obviously, we all know in 1994 was pro-choice.
Yep.
Staunchly pro-choice, which I really loved hearing out of his mouth, frankly. It makes me like him a little bit more.
Right.
But he is this whole issue with Aiken and the whole rape and abortion issue that's being discussed has really underscored what an Olympic flip-flopper he is.
Yep.
So this is really the Achilles heel of this campaign. And I predicted to John, I was on his show on Current TV, as he sat in for Elliot Spitzer a couple of weeks ago. And I predicted, I know it sounds crazy, you guys are going to think I'm crazy, but I think Mitt Romney will end up getting 38% of the vote. And I'll tell you why. Things like that, it's a facade. Things like this campaign, he doesn't even have the nomination yet. God knows if Isaac is going to knock them out down there. But we're going to keep seeing these frailties in his campaign reveal themselves. We know that Paul Ryan, I don't even think Paul Ryan likes Mitt Romney.
I don't think anyone does.
To his wife. And I have to say, I think they're both tremendous family men. I think Mitt Romney is, I bet he's a really affable, enjoyable guy. I think he's a good person. I think he's like a piece of paper floating around. I don't think it's really going to be the fight that we think it is.
Yeah. Well,
that's my opinion.
Surrogates will fight harder than Mitt will.
No, you're exactly right, John.
You're exactly right.
And I said, Shelley, earlier, I think this may be the lowest female vote that a candidate ever gets, because I'm telling you, this has hit a nerve, all of this stuff with all of the women I know.
I don't know about you, Shelley, but
I don't even know if it's a straight girl thing, because I've polled my straight girlfriends. Is it only straight girl vaginas that have these magical powers? Because I don't know what's going on with that whole...
It
has caused a rash of hoo-ha insecurity across the country, hasn't it?
It really has, and it really illuminates the thinking. You know, Aiken, he continues to say he used the wrong word. It's not about the word he used. It's about the ideology that he was trying to express.
Right, right.
And that ideology is, by and large, the shared ideology of the GOP and certainly the Tea Party. This is, the women are up in arms, and you know what? Men are up in arms about this. Men have women in their lives. And I, you know, I tweeted something about this, riddle me this, how many GOP men, the women, the sister, their wives, their mistresses, have been thankful to have exercised pro-choice?
Yeah.
How many? Because you know what? I know it's a private matter, but now that they're making it public, I want to ask the question. I want to ask their wives, their sisters, their daughters, their mistresses, if they've ever employed pro-choice. I want to know now, because they're all up in my business.
My, Shelley Wright, you've become quite the partisan.
The radical.
You really need to tone it down, my friend. Why do you need to talk about it so much publicly?
We need to talk about Stericycle publicly, that Mitt Romney may have made $50 million off a company that disposed of aborted fetuses, and that's one of the reasons why he's hiding his tax returns, one of the reasons why he's lying about when he left Bain.
It's just there's so much hypocrisy. You don't even know where to start. Shelley, did you hear about, you know, they were putting together the official Republican platform for next week? And, of course, somebody had the audacity to say something vaguely inclusive about gay people. And literally the guy writing the plank compared gays. What did they, Chris, it was compared homosexuality to polygamy and drug use.
Drug use, yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow. Well, good. Let them do that. Because that will be their nemesis. That will be their downfall. Because people are thinking clearer these days about social issues. We're complete Americans. We're not, of course we want jobs. God knows we want jobs.
Right.
But we also want, we want safety and freedom. And this old antique, you know, they've digressed 39 years, the GOP. They're just, I don't know what they're doing. What would your father say about this? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I've been talking about, you know, because I keep getting asked about it. Every time that, you know, there's a vice presidential candidate selected, they, you know, obviously somebody will compare. I mean, it wasn't as bad as being compared to Sarah Palin, but but still, you know, I have said it over and over again. I don't recognize this Republican Party today. So anyway, I almost wish, Shelley, that I had done the pre-tape so that your pre-tape from Sean Hannity show and mine could snuggle together. Somewhere in a vault.
In the dirt hole.
Right. We could have done like a double feature in the movie theaters.
Oh, cute. Like a little digital romance.
The missing Fox interviews. Doubleheader.
Think how many there are.
Oh, I'm sure there are.
All the other people that were disappearing from Fox.
Who else?
The last time Catherine Cryer did a pre-taped interview for them, I'm sure that landed in the same dirt hole.
Silence of the missing Fox News lambs. I can hear them screaming.
You'll be glad to know, Steph, that yesterday I was called on Twitter a liberal.
Awesome.
What?
Yay! I did it. I turned her. All right.
Well done.
Shell, I'm telling you, we are busting down those stereotypes all around. Honey, thanks so much, and thanks for the tweet yesterday. Appreciate it.
I love you guys so much,
I wish
I were there.
Love you too. Love you too, you flaming partisan. Okay. Bye, sweetheart.
Bye.
Boy, she's great.
Oh, I love her. She's gotten to be so outspoken.
Too bad about her looks, though.
Too bad about her looks.
It is a
nice
shame.
Girl,
it's
great personality. All the girls love her.
We overlook the unfortunate looks.
You have to. There's more to life than that.
Yes. 19 minutes after the hour. Back with more John Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Be a reporter, not an opinion person.
It would never occur to me to think of myself as anything other than a reporter.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
You don't hear enough CeCe Peniston anymore.
You do not. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Ecclesiastical MOOC.
Yes, my child.
Mm-hmm.
Come on to me.
Thank you.
Neil?
Lee writes, Steph, too bad the hurricane bearing down on Tampa. I think they have to name storms, and it depends on what. Anyway, we should nickname it Hurricane Karma. is what he was. I don't know what if you if there is some is there some message that that God is trying to give us, John? I don't know.
The Isaac derives from Yitzhak, which I believe means laughter. So this circle
it also
is God's
means
God is laughing.
Yes. It also means the bartender on the Love Boat.
Awesome. Okay, here's the mayor.
It means that we're not going to be fundamentalist douche canoes by assuming that God doesn't like Republicans the way they do about us. But
right.
Let's keep in mind the same thing happened 4 years ago at their last convention.
That's weird.
Interesting.
That's a funny coincidence.
Well, that's when Gustav was bearing down on New Orleans, I think. So they postponed the start of the Republican National Convention by one day.
Yeah.
I heard Hurricane Isaac.
Well, it's
normally
the gays that cause them.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going
Hurricane
on.
Hurricane Isaac got to Tampa and thought it was Vietnam because Bush and Cheney weren't there.
Hey, ladies, and you see what John Kriegel saying did?
Ladies
okay, here's
flavors.
The mayor of Tampa.
If we had to make that decision to cancel or to postpone or to move the convention, we will do that knowing full well that my obligation and the city's obligation is to move people out of harm's way.
I'm sorry. I don't think I'm just saying it's only because, John, all these religious right figures, every time there's a natural disaster, they have thoughts about why and who caused
it. The gays,
it. Gays, abortionists, whoever, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm just, okay.
Yeah. And the Tampa mayor is a Democrat, by the way.
Really?
Yes.
All right. In the meantime, their slogan is going to be, we built that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rocky Mountain Mike.
No,
Rocky Mountain
we built
Mike
that.
Has,
we built that. Exactly what Obama said. You didn't build it on your own. It's collective.
Rocky Mountain Mike with a.
We built this slogan. We built this slogan with splicing tape. We built this slogan. We built this slogan with splicing tape.
Bum, bum. Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike.
Oh,
it goes on.
Oh, I guess there's instrumental.
It's a lot of instrumental.
I
we
guess
love that.
So.
Yeah, we built that.
Okay.
John in Florida on We Built That. Hello, John.
Hello. How are you this morning?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. Hello, Chris and Jim.
Yes.
Neil, they're having that Republican Party's convention down here at Tampa Times Forum Building.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to have that big banner on there. We built this.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I
mm-hmm.
called the local TV stations this morning and told them I really want them to focus their cameras on that sign, on that big banner they got, because it's another lie, just like they have been doing. They didn't build that building. The 62% of the government and the unions built that building.
Yep. Oh, that's what I heard. That's what I heard. That's kind of hilarious.
What do you mean we, Kimosabe?
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Let's go to Keno in Florida. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Keno.
Good morning from Lakeland, just 30 miles away from Tampa. I'm a disgruntled Republican.
Uh-oh.
That's the worst kind.
I call my faction the Moose Herders. We follow Teddy Roosevelt, you know?
Uh-huh.
He was a progressive.
Snake oil salesman had taken over the Republican Party.
Yep.
And there's a book written in 2008, and maybe you could have as a guest Dr. Brian Welch. He's a psychiatrist. He wrote a book called State of Confusion, and there was a movie called Gaslighting, where it's
tricking
the minds. And he says Republicans are gaslighting the public, and you need to have him on, and we need to spread this concept that my party was taken over by gaslighters. There's also a new book called The Republican Mind by Chris Mooney,
right.
And it's supposed to be a scientific study of the minds that deny science.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you know, 2012 is the 100-year anniversary of Teddy Roosevelt quitting the Republican Party because he was disgusted with the corruption and big corporate money to run as a third-party progressive.
Yep.
But we're being gaslighted.
Yeah.
Damn.
Damn. All right. Shirley in Philadelphia. John, it's for you. Hi, Shirley.
Hey.
Welcome.
Well, before I speak to John, I have to tell you that me and my sexy liberal friends are getting on that old socialist Amtrak and heading up to see you guys.
Yeah!
Awesome!
Partey in New York. Whoop! All right, go ahead. Real quick. I'm sorry, we only have 30
friends.
Seconds. Go ahead.
Okay. My religious guru, John, what's with the magic pants? Would that keep us from getting pregnant?
The magic underwear, you mean?
Yeah, the magic underwear. I've been Googling it and everything. I can't get a straight answer.
Yes, that will keep you from getting pregnant. That's immaculate contraception.
She's also missing the magical vajayjay and wondering what else she can do. All right, 29 minutes after the hour. It's mud time. Mudcat Saunders next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
How's that
Stephanie Miller Show
going? It's only day three, but I understand how the whole world works now.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. I screwed up. Mudcat is at the top of the hour.
Right.
I thought he was here. He's at the we have a bigger name now.
It's Shatner
again. There we go. It's time when we get a little estrogen up here in the fort. All up in here. Good morning, Jackie Shatner.
I'm second choice. What is that?
No, you're first. I just screwed up the time. I apologize.
I'm the last cookie on the tray that nobody wants. Oh,
you're the last girl picked for dodgeball.
No, she's not.
You'll have your cookies any day.
She's my BFF. Yeah, well, because you know, so we have to be very circumspect about this.
Circumspect?
Shut up. I will circumcise all of you.
Oh, too late. Yeah, too late.
You are angry today. Jeez.
This war on women has me all fired up. So, no, I can't say who, but so I called you yesterday as my BFF to pick your giant brain because I got.
Wait, can we stop for a minute?
Yes.
It took me an hour to call you back.
Right.
And she's like, you'll never call.
I'm a little needy.
Yeah, she's like that. Believe me.
As previously discussed, I'm a little bit clingy.
Where were you when I needed you? It's been an hour.
Yeah.
It was important. It was important business. No, I end up, Chris, I didn't tell you this yet. I can't say who. I ended up on this email list with these really, really huge, powerful women. I'm like, how did I get on this list?
Really?
But, Jackie, we were talking about women. This has hit a nerve like I haven't seen in my years in politics. I don't know about you. But there are a lot of women that really want to do something big in response. Because literally, we feel like we've woken up in Saudi Arabia, right?
Yeah, I mean, I hope that this translates and people turn out and vote. I mean, I just hope, because a lot of times we have the tendency, not we as women, but we as voters, have the tendency to get angry and then do nothing.
Right.
And it passes. And I hope that the anger that's bubbling up now is, in fact, somewhat unprecedented and it actually translates into action. I really do.
Yes.
Because anybody who thinks their vote doesn't make a difference isn't paying attention.
Let's not do the silent treatment. I'm not talking to you people anymore. As long as that doesn't translate. But anyway, we were talking about, like, what to do. I mean, what kind of stuff, you know, in terms of drawing attention to this. Because I think it has hit a tipping point. It has hit critical mass, this war on women. Because, you know, as you've been pointing out among, you know, many of us, this is not just one guy saying one thing. It is their entire platform.
Yeah, it does feel like an assault. I mean, we use the word war on women, but it does feel like we're being attacked. And there is a sense, too, that there's a lot of men having a lot of conversations about women and women's bodies and what women should and shouldn't be allowed to do. And I just think that we are so powerful, and if we come together and stand up for ourselves, especially as a collective, and I don't know that it has to necessarily be partisan. I mean, I just think that there's women
who
can come together and stand up for each other as women.
That's right. Well, we reported this earlier. This is fairly stunning. You've been following politics for a while. President Obama continues to beat Mitt Romney among African-American voters 94% to zero.
Yes.
And now, that was 1% at one point.
It's zero now.
Zero.
And there's a 3.1% margin of error. So conceivably,
black fetuses, black poltergeists,
right?
Yes.
Black
also
ghosts.
Hate Mitt Romney.
Yes.
Yes. Could it be? I don't know how many, but I've said today on the show, could this be the lowest female vote ever for Mitt Romney? I think the president's already had 15 points or something.
Yeah.
But I mean, this has really hit a nerve, hasn't it?
Well, he's not particularly likable in general, and he's certainly not likable when it comes to showing any sort of penchant for caring about women. I mean, I don't know. I mean, for me personally, I don't see the physical appeal, so
yes.
That's lost on me completely.
Yes.
And then as far as his characters, I mean, I don't find him charming. I don't think anybody does. I mean, his favorabilities are low. People don't find him particularly likable.
Well, and we talked about the Paul Ryan pick. It's seriously, like, I think Sean Hannity has a bigger crush on him than any woman I've talked to. I mean, because his policies are horrible for women.
Two soulless corporate empty suit moderates running for the office. That's fantastic. I mean,
yeah.
This is going to get the evangelicals riled up, and they're not moderates on abortion, mind you.
John, if there's a theme, is what, Jackie sent me this, you're on Sandra Fluke's email list. right?
Well, I think it was from the Obama campaign, and they're using her as a surrogate. And so I think that that's where that came from.
Right, but it's you know, and she's the one, obviously, Rush Limbaugh called a slut for a week on his show because she was talking about birth control and about her friend needing birth control for endometriosis or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, but she writes, Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan have tried to distance themselves from the Aiken remark.
Right.
But the fact is they're in lockstep on the major women's health issues of our time. The controversy is not an accident or a mistake or an isolated incident. It's a reflection of a Republican Party whose policies are dangerous for women. There's a clear choice in this election stand with President Obama. So that's what I mean. There's a through line, right, from that incident to now.
What do you think it makes so men so angry when it comes to women? Like, why is it? I mean, maybe the men in the room can answer this. Like, why is there such anger?
I have a theory on
what
that.
The hell are you talking about, woman? Make me a sandwich.
Get back in the news center and make me an omelet. Go ahead, John.
I think that a lot of them don't actually care about abortion one bit. The Bush family, as we know, is not anti-abortion. George H.W. Bush supported women's reproductive freedoms until the very day Ronald Reagan asked him to be his running mate. Now, remember, George Bush and the Republicans controlled the White House, the House, and the Senate for 6 years. Okay, 6 years from 2001 to 2007, never once did they try to defund Planned Parenthood. It never occurred to them. They do this now because it's an election year, and they're trying to get evangelicals to show up and vote for a Mormon and a Catholic that are on the ticket, and they have to do this. The Republican Party will never allow abortion to be illegal because it's the best fundraising tool they've got.
Sandra Fluke points out in this letter, the party platform itself includes a quote-unquote salute to states that have pushed informed consent laws, such as those that force women seeking an abortion to first undergo, the transvaginal ultrasound. Last year, Paul Ryan joined Todd Akin and more than 200 other Republicans in co-sponsoring this legislation that would have narrowed the definition of... I think there is such a through line on all of these issues, aren't they, Jackie, from state to state?
Well, speaking of state laws that have passed kind of in the shadows, somebody on Twitter sent me yesterday a link to an article about parental rights for men who rape women and then the women have the baby and then the man has the right to seek parental influence in the child's life. He can be a part of the child's life in some states.
If you're a rapist who wants to pick out his own baby mama, this is the ticket for you.
It's
incredible, and I think these sorts of things, I mean, again, I sound like a broken record, but if you don't go out and vote, even on the local level, you're part of the problem.
You really
need to make an impact where you can.
And here we get into your area of health care. Sandra Fluke's letter also says Mitt Romney famously says he'd get rid of Planned Parenthood. Both Romney and Ryan pledged to go back to a system where insurance companies can discriminate against women. We have to pay more for our insurance. I mean, it's a war on women on every front.
Yeah, I mean, we bear the brunt of anything that comes up health-wise. I mean, we definitely have more health care, not everything, obviously, but we have more health care concerns. We certainly, when it comes to childbearing, have that. I think if the insurance companies used to say women being a woman is not a pre-existing condition because insurance companies would charge you more just for being a woman of childbearing age.
This is discrimination
across the board.
Yeah. You know what it is, Jackie Schechner, my BFF? They misunderestimate the power of the sisterhood because we have each other's backs. I'm a big gay, so I don't need any contraception or abortions.
Well,
but I have your backs, is what I'm saying.
If you at your age, you're not going to have any abortions anyway.
I don't
stop it.
You don't know what's happening down there.
She can dream, Chris. You know how pro-abortion liberals are.
I just had one this morning.
Not getting anywhere near a penis.
Yeah, I have another one at lunch.
I think this is a part of the plot. Jim brought this to my attention, oddly enough. From Gawker, I'm just telling you, this is a study done by Republicans. Women who have unprotected sex are happier, smarter, thanks to mood-elevating properties of semen.
Yes!
That's always been my theory.
He's done an informal.
Fat boys that wrote that one.
Yeah, I'm like, are you kidding me? Researchers from SUNY Albany have authored a study which claims that certain chemicals found in semen can have a positive effect on the physical and mental health of women who frequently engage in unprotected sex.
Science,
really?
Science. Freedom ring.
Well, why don't you drink the punch out of the trash can? We're doing research.
Yeah.
Because that's not organic.
Sounds like
someone's been to a frat party.
University of Miami. Woo!
Range of chemicals promote mental well-being and feelings of affection. And that's why guys are called gay.
I love this, done by Professor Squeezy McFeelpants. Yeah. Using data obtained from an anonymous survey of 293 females on campus, they were able to determine that women who engage in oral sex, really?
Yes.
Or who have unprotected sex on a regular basis were happier than those
Why
who
were
practice.
They not doing that study when I was in college?
If they weren't happy, they wouldn't be performing oral sex in the first place.
The researchers also determined that women with a significant amount of seminal plasma in their system have improved concentration and excel over their semen-deficient counterparts in performing cognitive tasks.
That's why it's called a job!
John Louise, you see, this is why...
Brought that up to the list of surveys, I don't believe.
Really?
Really?
See, I fell for it.
Well, if anyone out there is interested in doing some field research...
I've got just the field.
Oh, you give and you give, you boys. All right. Jack, thanks for bringing some estrogen into the Ford. Appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
All right.
Not that kind of pleasure.
All right, exactly.
Boys,
not that kind of job.
Boys, calm down. All right, now get back in the newsroom and make Jim a sandwich. All right.
Okay, you're a sandwich.
Chicks should only make two things, news and sandwiches. And don't forget the beer.
Bye.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, God.
All right, 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, I guess that makes our naughty parts tingle.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, type in the promo code. Stephanie, be
That's
sure
so funny.
I'm laughing, well, because I have to have GoToMeetings with John Finkelstein, because he's who knows where he is. He's
That's
in D.C.
Right.
today. He's in New York sometimes. He's with me on the road sometimes, but... We were laughing because the head of our syndication company, John,
yes. mm-hmm.
we thought it was... that we had forgot to communicate. Like, why didn't I know that John Finkelstein was in there because of the ISDN line, blah, blah, blah. That's what we thought it was about. And she's like, I just needed to get my hair done. Women need, chicks need notice.
Yeah.
When John Finkelstein, so they can, you know. Sorry about
that. Sorry, Amy.
Sorry. Hopefully. I haven't had my hair. John, what? All right. Another edition of Chicks Dig, John Finkelstein.
That's right.
Oh, stop.
All right.
Chicks Dig Hal Sparks. You know what I'm about. Damaged Catholics gravitate to me.
It was a little bit of a party in Columbus, I must say. Okay. Oh, and by the way, somebody ended up naked just wearing a sombrero in the back of a cab. I'll read that later.
Excuse me?
In Columbus. It was a party. Okay.
Where can you get a sombrero?
In Columbus?
The president on the campaign trail.
The fact is that everything I've done has been focused on how we rebuild that strong middle class.
Yeah, hello, and then he had a question for Mittens.
I've got a question for Governor Romney. How many teachers' jobs are worth another tax cut for millionaires and billionaires?
Mm-hmm. I loved his, did you see he weighed in on the Todd Akin thing? He said he somehow missed science class.
Yeah.
Got a little shot in the Todd Akin. All right.
He's on the science committee or something, isn't he?
I know, you really think it's a joke. You think it's a joke. Todd Akin is on the science committee.
Of the House, yeah.
Oh, God, the president.
Cutting back on teachers is the last thing we should be doing as a country.
Oh, by the way, John, you know what the segment was supposed to be on last night on Hannity that I got canceled from? Civility in politics, and the focus of which would have been Joe Biden's outrageous comments.
Wow, and he invited you to talk about civility?
Yes.
That is true. Irony's not dead.
We were pretty sure he was going to sandbag me with a clip from Sexy Liberal. But he was going to say, see?
Because it's out on CD now. He can pull all kinds of audio from it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because Joe is so uncivil when he's defending the president who's been called a Kenyan socialist undocumented immigrant
Muslim. Un-American. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. And here he is, Jolton Joe Biden.
We inherited a deficit, a bill, for $1 trillion before the president sat behind his desk. And a middle class that was devastated. And now, it's amazing. They discovered the middle class and they care about it.
All right. One more about the middle class. Joe Biden.
They have been ravaged
They have been ravaged, but they're starting to come back. We've helped them keep their homes and their health care.
Yeah.
Yeah. Roger in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Roger.
Hey, Steph. How are you guys doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Listen, I thought I had heard it all, and I thought I'd been outraged to the very max. But I was watching Zink's show last night, and y'all have already touched upon it, but I really want you to visualize this. I mean, if this isn't a campaign ad for 31 states, I've never seen one. And the fact is, what Jake was saying is that they have legalized visitation rights for convicted rapists.
Yes,
that's
I know.
Parental control.
Roger, I didn't know that. Did you? Until this whole thing started.
No,
I mean, right.
And I bet President Obama and Joe Biden doesn't know it either.
Yeah.
But there's women in 31 states that don't know it either. I mean, you got to visualize this.
It's incredible.
Here's a woman who has been raped. All right, she's been raped. She has brought the child to term, and then she is forced with the reality in 31 states that she has to cart this child to some state prison every other weekend for 18 years.
Wow.
It is really, I read that and I couldn't believe it.
Insane.
David in New Hampshire is running for the state Senate there. Hi, David. Welcome.
Hey,
hi, David.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Go ahead. You're running for state Senate.
Yeah, my name is David Pierce. I'm a state representative now in New Hampshire, but I'm running for the state Senate. What I want to talk about is, you know, the GOP has just got a war going on against everybody.
Right.
A war on women, war on, on the middle class, and a war on gays. I've been in the New Hampshire House now for 6 years, and in 2009 I led the fight where we got, where we passed marriage equality into law.
Yep.
I got up there and I talked about my husband of 20 years, our two kids, and just how utterly mundane our life is. And I think that made it, normal for a lot of people.
Yeah. Oh, gays can be just as boring as straight people.
Yes.
Trust me on that.
And we are the poster children for that. whenever you talk about gay families, the conservative hair just catches on fire and their heads pop off.
Yeah. And you've had this National Organization of Marriage after you, right?
Yeah, there's some talk that there's going to be some National Organization for Marriage money coming into this race because I was the face of the marriage equality fight in New Hampshire. They're going to target this race to try to bring me down.
Oh, my God.
They tried the same thing against Governor Lynch, a Democrat, in 2010 because he signed the marriage equality law. They wanted to send a signal to other governors around the nation that governors sign these laws at their own peril.
David, they are on the wrong side of history, and they are hugely losing the fight. So thanks for calling in, and good luck. We will be rooting for you.
Yeah, thanks for letting me on.
Thank you, David. David Pierce, there he is.
Yeah.
New Hampshire, running for the state Senate.
Vote for him.
Yeah.
You can get there from here.
Yes, you can. Kevin in D.C., I haven't talked to you in ages. Hi, Kevin.
Well, good morning. Mm-hmm. Oh, still got that nervous twitch habit of saying lovely, Stephanie, but it did so. How you doing?
Good morning, sir.
How you doing, crew? I was so excited last month, I got to say what's up to you guys.
Hey, how you doing, Kevin?
You there for the thing?
I'm here.
Yeah.
I can't wait for your show.
Oh, you need both.
TV is like a whole new, I've really got to catch up on this network.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Kev.
Really, really, really good real estate at Current TV.
Yeah. All right, go ahead, Kev.
Yeah, real quick, and one quick thing. I don't understand why you and Shelley White, such beautiful women, would get within 100 miles of Sean Kluka claiming insanity. I guess it's a white thing, after all. You guys probably wonder why we deal with Flavor Flav. But anyway.
Because Chuck D needs him, that's why.
But anyway, real quick, please, people, get out and vote, because I can't understand why anyone would vote the GOP. If you're black, they want to limit your voting rights. If you're Latino, they want to make things so bad that you, in quote, self-deport. If you're gay, you can't marry. If you're a woman, they want to regulate your reproductive and health care rights. Why in the world wouldn't, one, anyone vote for them unless you're allegedly straight Christian male? Because you know how many of them are caught in the bathroom toe tapping, so I say allegedly. Why would you do that?
I'll tell you why, because millionaires have had it tough for a long time.
Yeah.
Of course.
This country is tired of them keeping the millionaire man down.
Yeah.
What am I thinking? I'm just saying, liberals, please, 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 for all of you trying to give up excuses why not to vote, that it's rigged, blah, blah, blah. Listen.
Yep, turnout. Yep, absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
Shut up, liberals. You know, and if you're discouraged about the candidates for president, show up and just vote local. Local elections matter even more. State and local are the most important ones this year. I mean, Obama's been great for you, but you can't use the fact that he didn't give you a unicorn as a reason to stay home.
Kevin, I've missed you. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, baby.
Okay.
Where's my unicorn, damn it?
Danger when you taste brown sugar. 58 minutes after the hour, my cat Saunders now.
Now, yes.
Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Woo! This is a roller coaster this morning. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Sexy liberal John Fugelsang in the D.C. Bureau.
Whoa!
Of Stephanie Miller and Group. Didn't even know I had
that. Yeah, when did we build that one?
We built that.
You built it.
That's right.
Bill Press built it with his own hands.
Yes. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, it's our new favorite day of the week. Mudcat! Dave Mudcat Saunders joins us now. Mudcat! Good morning, Mudcat.
How y'all doing?
Hey!
We're excited. Your buddy Shelley Wright was just on about an hour ago.
Oh, she was?
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, Shelley, she's a good one.
Yeah. we want to go hang on your porch and whittle at
some
point.
I'll tell you funny. Shelley, one time I was in Nashville, and Rodney Crowell and his wife, Claudia, and Shelley and I were getting together for dinner, and I stopped at... Bill Frist house. He's got built this new big house down there in Nashville. Ooh. He had all these flowers there. I stopped and picked flowers out of his yard for Shelley to take to dinner. And I was trying to get arrested because I thought that'd be really good, you know, to be arrested for picking flowers out of Bill Frist's yard
right.
for Shelley Wright.
That's the weirdest story I've yet heard from you. And I've heard some.
But that's awesome.
Ones.
I love
that's
that.
That's an awesome story. Does Shelley know that, where the flowers came from?
Oh, yeah.
Hilarious. All right. So, first of all, let's check in your race. Your awesome candidate, Wayne Powell, which, by the way, we just had Wendy Malick on yesterday, who I forgot is from Dream On.
Right.
And I forgot to tell her the one degree of separation that we just had Madeline Stowe on, who's married
to Brian
Benben
of Dream
On. Okay.
Wow.
The point is...
That brings us to the verge of interesting.
Once this campaign's over, Madeline and I got to get back to Haiti right away. It'll be good because she'll be getting through, you know, the filming of Revenge, and then we can get back down there and get to work.
Yeah.
This stuff I've done in politics that'll make me go to hell. Maybe I can clean some of that off down there.
Well, you've got a terrific candidate. Obviously, you and Madeline supporting Wayne Powell, who is running against Eric Cantor. But interesting, in the middle of this whole Todd Akin thing and the war on women, he has called on Eric Cantor to explain his co-sponsorship of 32 abortion bills with Representative Todd Akin and to denounce his candidacy for the Senate seat in Missouri. Have we heard any word from Mr. Cantor?
He's not said a thing. I mean, he's remained completely mum on it. And, you know, this skinny dipping incident over there in Israel, you know, the timing was good on that because he can talk about that and talk about how he chastised everybody.
I think our
maybe it's
gonna
being a hillbilly or something, but I didn't see the big deal with that. Yeah. I see a big deal with this. I mean, 32 pieces of legislation he co-sponsored. In fact, he was on that Bill 3 that, you know, first introduced that language, forcible rape. I mean, the Unborn Child Pain Awareness Act, where they go in there and they tell you how much pain that the abortion is going to cause an unborn fetus. And it's about guilt. You know, they're good at using guilt. And it's crazy that, you know, that he will not, you know, speak to it, and because he can't run from him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, as he said, Cantor and Aiken are joined at the hip on the issue. I mean, that's what's so unfortunate is I think that didn't get a lot of press, the whole forcible rape thing that was then the language, you know, had to be pulled out. But now Todd Aiken has put a spotlight on that, right?
Oh, yeah, but I still don't understand what legitimate rape is.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't get what is a legitimate rape? Is it...
Well, and how is that anymore?
When you get your rocks, it's legitimate. I don't understand it.
Yeah, wow. I don't. I mean, that's what I was saying is I don't know how that's any less offensive. I mean, forcible rape, that's just as offensive. It's just like the president said, rape is rape. Since when did we get into this kind of, you know, trying to parse it like that?
Well, you know, it's extremist. And, you know, over here, I tell you, of course, the 7th District was about split on this issue 2 years ago, and with all the, you know, the governor ultrasound stuff and the transvaginal mm-hmm. ultrasound, the district is now 68% pro-choice. And they're polling, too, and they know their numbers. Their faves are really low, and unfaves are really high. And, you know, he just doesn't want to talk about it, and because it is so out of the mainstream here right now. And, you know, he's tied to extremism.
Mudkeck, and this is a perfect example. As you know who was in charge of writing the Republican platform? Transvaginal Bob. I mean, it's part of the entire policy. It's not just one guy misspeaking, right?
Well, Bob McDonald's, you know, he was trained at the Pat Robertson School of Jesus, and, you know, it shows. And I call him Sodomy Bob.
He's got to earn that name.
Well, he's already earned it. He was asked he put in this bill about anybody who was put on a bench in Virginia had to sign an oath. This is when he was in the legislature, that they had never committed sodomy. The guy asked him if he had ever committed sodomy, and he said he didn't recall. And like I've told a lot of people and said a lot of places, you know, I might easily forget where my car keys are, and a lot of times I'll even forget where my car was, but there's just some things in life I'm not going to forget.
Mudcat, this is Todd Aiken yesterday on Good Morning America. Take a listen.
I'm never going to say everything that can possibly happen. I don't know the future.
Some people said he was opening the door to maybe getting out. What do you think?
I don't think he'll get out. I hope he doesn't get out. And, you know, any Democrat who calls on him to get out, you know, I'm at odds with that.
Yeah.
Claire can beat him now.
Yeah. And, well, the polling, I mean, people were making a lot of, oh, he's still winning. But he was up by 1 point. He had been up by, what, 7 or something like that before this, correct?
Yeah. And Claire's going to, she's going to hit her stride, here in a month or so anyway, within a month. And the momentum has clearly shifted. And, you know, as everybody knows, it's been around politics, that, you know, you can take all the components of electoral politics. You can take message, you can take money, you can take organization, you can take everything, and momentum trumps them all. And the fact that she made such a gain in polls is indicative of momentum. And like I said, within the next 30 days, she'll be hitting her stride on this thing. And I certainly hope he stays in.
Mudcat, speaking of polling, have you in your years in the political game seen a poll like the 94% to 0 the president has among African-American voters over Mitt Romney?
No.
Yeah,
I really haven't.
That came out this morning.
Anytime you're at zero,
that's pretty bad.
Yeah, and there's a 3.1% margin of error.
Really, but you know, the African American community is energized again. You know, I just hope that energy, you know, goes back and to where it was in 2008. Now it'll never be where it was in 2008 because that was possibly the greatest momentum election of all time in the history of, you know, presidential politics. But it's showing in African American communities that the momentum is back, and I think that with some of the stuff that the Republicans have done, you know, including this welfare, you know,
lie.
I think that this has offended the African American constituency big time, and rightly so, and has re-energized them. I think they went the wrong place.
Yep. And, you know, Mudcat, I've been saying all morning, I want to get your take on it. And, you know, this could be, you know, as being from being a woman to just following politics for a long time, I have never seen the kind of white hot anger that all of this stuff has ignited among women. I have a feeling that women voters are going to be mobilized like never before this year. What do you think?
Well, I think so. And like I said, this district, you know, we're at 68% pro-choice now because of all the things that, that have hit. But, you know, Rachel Maddow was on Letterman last night, and Rachel, you know, called it. Never in my lifetime or since I've been working on politics have I seen parties, you know, it's become tribal.
Yeah.
It really has. It's tribal. And that's why, you know, the great hostilities exist, and that's why the great push on partisanship exists. And, you know, we got to get away from that. You know, tribalism is not the way to get stuff done in Washington.
Yep, yep. Well, if it, apparently it's all the president's fault. He, if according to the right wing, he ran on hope and change, and then apparently he was just incredibly angry and hateful.
Hmm. Well, that's true. I'm just hoping this hurricane doesn't hit down there in Tampa so we can get this over with and hear what they got to say. But if they don't get a pop out of this, I think, you know, Mitt Romney, you know, with the Democratic convention coming the following week, I think that the lack of momentum that he kicked up with the Ryan selection.
Yeah, that's kind of historic, the lack of a bump that he for Brian, for all the you know, people fawning over him in the Republican Party. He got no bump at all, right?
Right, he got no bump at all. I remember in 2004, of course, I did the Edwards campaign that year. When Kerry announced him, he got a 21-point bump.
Yep, yep.
But what's happened with Paul Ryan is, you know, the choir is singing louder. It's just there's no more people in the choir.
Well,
they're just singing loud.
Romney can count on 6% of the African American vote. They're in his back pocket.
Yeah.
So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All really? Right. Mudcat, great stuff. Love to talk to you, honey. See you next week.
All right. Y'all take care.
All right.
You too, Mudcat.
God, that guy's so pretentious.
Roll around that honey drawl. All right. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A beautifully wrapped, glossy, sweet-smelling show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. Gene Smart, actress extraordinaire, coming up at the bottom of the hour. But first, oh, he's in the D.C. Bureau.
Nothing rhymes with beautiful sound.
Okay, Judy in Detroit.
Every time I look at you, I don't understand.
The reviews roll in for Sexy Liberal. I love this one from Columbus. Hey, Mom, I just got out of the fog from this last week, and it's official. My sister and I are step heads. Whole experience amazing, worth the price of admission. You're right, you are a hugger. It's so funny and pretty and sweet in person. Okay, but more importantly...
Is this the one with the sombrero?
No.
Oh.
Let's see. John Fugelsang was so gracious, and watching women swoon reminded me of some hens I once saw writhing around in the dirt trying to get to the rooster's attention. That's what women are like around John Fugelsang.
That's true. He's a beautiful, beautiful man.
You are.
My God. This is how they go crazy.
No, no, no.
receipt. Yes, it is. Hal has to bring around an aluminum baseball bat to fight them off.
He does not.
He carries it on the...
He's
your mini-me.
This is Tony from Columbus. Staff, great having you in the gang, Columbus, last weekend for the latest version of the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. The after party, absolutely awesome. And I'm not saying that because I woke up the next morning passed out in the backseat of a taxi cab in Toledo wearing nothing but a sombrero. Again? Jeez.
Wow. That's... that. Wow. Okay.
But as we all know, the Sexy Liberal Tour, not just some raunchy wine-fueled laugh riot, it's an educational outreach of the highest order, an uplifting, intellectually challenged treatise on American pop culture, history, and politics, in, after which you sometimes wake up naked in a sombrero in the
in
back
Toledo.
Of the
Uh-huh. Where do you find...
If you do it right.
Columbus is a pretty big city.
Toledo?
I don't know that you could find a sombrero there.
Toledo?
Mud
hens?
You could find lederhosen in Jalisco.
Yeah.
Women around John Fugelsang like
I
mud
think
hens.
This
they
just means
like
we have to bring the Sexy Liberal Tour back to Ohio. Cincinnati's next.
Okay. Listen, you shush
you
over there.
You put the sin in Cincinnati.
You can do it via GoToWebinar.
All right. Speaking of entertainment, I mean, people very, very upset that I wasn't on Hannity because he's a...
They're upset because you made them DVR it, and now their TiVos are tainted.
He's probably watching right now, licking his little paws.
Uh-huh.
George Slaughter actually wrote me and said, I just won $10 in the office pool. I bet he would cancel the interview. No way he was going to debate you head-to-head, even if he would. Fox wouldn't allow it in this atmosphere right now. I would have loved to have seen it. But
George Slaughter goes to the office?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
All right, Jeff in Massachusetts, reasons for Sean Hannity's cancellation.
Okay.
Listener comedy. Hi, Steph. Number one, he only found out today that you play for the other side. Yeah, he might not have known.
Yeah, well.
Number three, he realizes he's no longer prettier than you. Number four, he thought he was booking Stephanie Zimbalist. That could have been. He realizes you're not laughing with him, you're laughing at him. Your slide whistle is bigger than his. And finally, he has a new object of infatuation, Paul Ryan. I think that's what it was.
Or maybe they thought that they were getting that other radio host that used to look like you.
Oh.
Okay, Jim, who said, if the campaign is about issues, we win. If it's about Mitt Romney's record as a businessman, then we don't win. If it's about Mitt Romney's tax returns, we don't win. If it's about whether people like Mitt Romney more than Barack Obama, then we don't win. Who said that?
George Slaughter.
No. Frothy the Santorum said that. Rick Santorum.
Really?
Yikes.
Wow.
Interesting. Yikes.
Well, so he tells the truth once in a while. What do you want?
He doesn't not seem to be a fan of the Mittens.
No. Oh,
no, he hates him. He really hates Mitt. He still hates Mitt Romney.
Oof. Here is Mittens now. Mittens on the campaign trail.
Now, I know it's very tempting as a politician to go out and say, you know what, I'll just give you some money. I'll just take the government's just going to give you some money and pay back your loans for you. I'm not going to tell you something that's not the truth because you know what? That's just taking money from your other pocket and giving it to the other pocket. I want to make sure that I'm not going to go out and promise all sorts of free stuff that I know you're going to end up paying for.
Okay,
yeah,
can we talk about...
Just ask your parents for money or else just shop around for a cheaper school.
But this is one of the biggest lies Mitt Romney's told. Do you remember when he went and spoke to, I won't say he spoke to the NAACP, when he spoke past the NAACP
yes.
to the racist watch,
right.
and he deliberately put in a line he said he knew would get booed, and he got booed when he talked about repealing Obamacare. Well, then he went that same night and talked about how they want free stuff.
Yes.
So which one is it, Mitt, you damned liar? Is Obamacare costing people money, or is it free? Which
By
one
the
are
way,
you doing?
And he's
mixing his lies
he
up.
He didn't have the courage to say that to their face at the NAACP, that
right.
they want free stuff. I'm wondering if that's maybe where he earned that 0% in the poll
yeah.
Among African-Americans against the president. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, actress Jean Smart next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Frickin' head's pounding. I'm sweating booze and my mouth's killing me.
You're the one who stuffed four pool balls in it.
Personal best.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. Jim and I have been looking at pictures of puppies. One puppy's eating the other puppy's face like he's on bath salts. Oh, no, puppy, no. Okay.
You're so weird.
Right.
Oh, my God.
And, so
is
are
this
my
news?
Fortunately, so are my listeners. Look at this. Guy in Iowa. Have you seen this going around the interwebs? Stephen Mooks, one of my best friends, posted one of the attached photos on our Facebook page after we saw it. My husband and I thought maybe we can get lots of proud livers to post pictures of their stuffed or otherwise inanimate dogs on their cars ready for the trip to the RNC. It's a picture of their stuffed dog on their roof.
That's great.
Funny. Okay. We are waiting. Oh, by the way, new daddy, John Fugelsang. How is the Fugelsanglet?
Massive. He's 23 pounds at 5 months.
Oh, wow. No way.
23 pounds at five. He's Jabba the Kid. He is huge. He has his own gravitational field.
Oh, you're going to be excited. He's going to do really well at Toddler Fight Club, which is all the new rage on the interwebs. Have you seen this?
No.
Hilarious. I love when gay people aren't supposed to have children, right?
Yeah.
The Gawker brings us the story. Delaware's last honest toddler fight club was shut down yesterday. Have you seen this on the interwebs?
Yeah.
Since toddlers were first domesticated thousands of years ago, they have been prized for their sweet faces and their deadly skill in hand-to-hand combat. Now three daycare workers in Delaware have been arrested for giving toddlers a theater in which to hone their innate violent tendencies. Secret Toddler Fight Club is no more. Oh, this is very sad. Monday, after detectives received a cell phone video, they say shows encouraging women encouraging the toddlers to battle one another.
Oh, God.
In the footage, which police claim they're not releasing because it's evidence, but probably they're just sitting on it while they make copies for all their friends because it sounds awesome, 2 3-year-olds can be seen scrapping in the center of a room while adults cheer them on. Here are the rules of the Toddler Fight Club. Number one, no pinching. In the video, one child is reportedly heard yelling, "He pinched me, snitch." One of the daycare workers then reminds her young warriors, "There's no pinching, only punching."
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
Isn't
see?
That sweet? I got to go write a check to the Taliban. Excuse me.
Yes. The other rule, no babies. Video catches one child crying, trying to attempt to forfeit the game, only to be pushed back into the fray by one of the workers. If you're going to behave like a baby, you're not welcome in the Toddler Fight Club. Gawker ends by saying, "All previously scheduled toddler fights have definitely not been moved behind Lord and Taylor on Market Street, and betting absolutely is not open until 6:30 tonight." You should not bet on toddler fights. That is wrong. It's just wrong, John Fugelsang.
I don't even want to. I mean, did the Taliban do that? No.
No.
Did Hitler do that? No.
No.
No. Only Americans got that bored.
You brought a knife to a toddler fight.
Bob in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bob.
Hi. How's it going? I want to compliment your guest, Shelley, country girl.
Shelley Wright. Yes.
Yes. Being big enough to take her stand on an issue, whether it's on the left or on the right, which I do sometimes.
Yeah.
And I don't know who I'm going to vote for this year. I very reluctantly last time around voted for Obama and the Democrats.
Why reluctant?
Pardon?
Why reluctantly?
Because I'm 100% opposed to his positions on abortion and legitimizing gay marriage. And
why? May I ask why? Is that for religious reasons?
Yes.
What religion?
Lifelong Roman Catholic.
What? Where? But where did Jesus say anything about gay people?
He stated that a man should leave his father and mother and cling to his wife, not his...
So are unmarried men an abomination?
No. They were called to celibacy if they're going into the religious life by St. Paul.
Oh, okay, but that's not Jesus saying that being gay is a sin, is it? And how do you feel about men who marry women and hide their gayness and still go around on the side? I mean...
It's dead wrong.
Well, of course it's wrong, sure, but why shouldn't people be as God made them?
Well, because I really don't think that God made people.
Well, let me ask you another question. Jesus and the Vatican are both opposed to the death penalty. Are you opposed to the death penalty?
Absolutely.
And the Vatican was against the Iraq War. Were you against the Iraq War?
Yes, I was.
And well, these are consistent.
George W. should have listened to John Paul II when he advised him against it.
At least you're consistent.
You are a consistent Catholic.
Yeah.
Bob, why did you vote? I'm curious, why did you vote for Obama then?
Because, number one, the Workplace Fairness Act. Mm-hmm. I'm for justice in the workplace. And number two, I thought he was going to come up, and he didn't, in a couple of respects, with... justice under health care for all. I believe that health care is a human right.
But he improved it, didn't he? I mean, we're closer to having Medicare for all because of what he's done.
He took some good steps in the right direction, but...
Bob, I'm curious, as a Catholic, how do you feel about the Catholic Church condemning Paul Ryan's budget? Are you going to vote for Romney and Ryan?
I don't know at this point. It's a real toss-up because I know as a working man and as a consumer and as a healthcare consumer, I'm cutting my throat if I vote Republican. And the thing is, if I vote for the president's reelection, I'm cutting my own throat as a Roman Catholic because I really believe he showed insensitivity towards all people of faith when he rode roughshod over the positions of the church and compelling the church
you mean birth
to...
Control.
But he didn't. The church has gotten
an exception.
If you're Catholic, you don't have to accept the birth control.
And by the way, sir, there's nothing in the Bible that says that birth control is a sin. The Catholic Church did that to keep their numbers up. You know that.
Try chapter 38 of Genesis, a guy by the name of Onan.
Onan, yeah. Onan's about not obeying God's orders. Onan never, ever, ever... Onan was told to go into the tent and impregnate his dead brother's wife. He felt creepy about it because it was a law, like the Catholic Church, designed to keep your tribe's numbers up. He spilled his seed on the ground, and God killed him. There's nothing in there about not using birth control. By the way, sir, the Catholic Church, if they had any faith in their own power, they would comply with the law, since they're not paying taxes here anyway, tell their flock not to use birth control, and see who obeyed.
Bob called on the right day. Bob, may I just say you are an enigma wrapped in a riddle, and I like you. Good luck with your decision.
I like you, too.
Good luck with your decision.
I hope I haven't been your world's worst nightmare.
No.
You're great. You're like a sane conservative.
Yeah.
I like him. Okay, good luck. I wish him well with his decision.
Sure.
Yeah,
but he called on the day that, you know.
Oh, dear.
Okay, yeah. He called when personal comedy Jesus was here. You know, what are you going to do? you got to be bringing it. You got to bring your biblical.
Why should you want to know?
I loved that movie.
Oh, I will sing that entire musical on this show.
Yeah, exactly.
What movie?
Jesus looked exactly like Ted Neely.
Oh, okay.
Did you not know what that was from?
No, I knew what that was from, but I'm not. There was a movie made of it? I thought it was just a musical.
Oh, you not a very good movie.
It's not a very good movie.
Go play in Toddler Fight Club later.
No, John is right. It's not a good movie.
Nor is Godspell. Someday, I want to direct the real film adaptations of Superstar and Godspell.
All right. Speaking of fabulous acting, Jean Smart is here. We found her.
Yay!
Hello, Jean Smart.
Good morning.
Good morning. we were so excited. We got to talk to Wendy Malick, your co-star in this play.
Love Wendy Malick.
Yeah. You know, if only you had a good cast for this play, including...
I know, it's kind of pathetic.
Yes.
There's like Cloris Leachman.
Yeah, only Amy Madigan, Wendy Malick, you, Lisa Bonet, and Cloris Leachman. Apparently they cannot find any names
and
for this.
And Joe Montaigne is the narrator.
That's right.
Well,
that's
pretty cool. That's all I need to know. But it's also at one of my favorite places, Will Gear's the theater in Topanga Canyon, right?
Oh my gosh, it's gorgeous! Yeah,
it's beautiful.
Yeah. Anyway, tell us that this play sounds hilarious. It follows the exploits of the Morning Glory Baking Circle for Revolutionary Self Defense.
That's it. TGBCRSD.
You all bake to raise funds for revolutionary causes.
This is a bunch of gals who are in their, shall we say, later years, middle years, who used to be in their 20s and 30s, used to be activists, and now the only thing they're doing is sitting around raising money by baking to donate to radical political causes, and it gets pretty wild.
Your character is described. Janice is described as a Woodstock era hippie who still keeps the fires of the 60s burning.
Oh, totally. And we end up kidnapping Lisa Bonet.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is awesome.
That's not awesome.
Lenny Kravitz did that once.
Are you in fact a Woodstock era hippie? How do your politics?
Yeah, I was. My politics are definitely lean that way. I was a little more conservative at that age. Although I remember one morning when I was in college, and I usually got up and pulled on the long, long, you know, bell-bottom jeans that you'd like walk on till they shredded, you know.
Right.
And my hair was like long and straight, and I looked okay, but I was usually kind of, you know.
Listen,
super casual. And one morning I had to go to a job interview, and I was all dolled up with, you know, hosiery and heels and everything, and I ran into some little old lady. She goes, oh, it's so nice to see a young lady dressing like this these days. Huh. I'm so tired of these girls with their long, straggly hair and their baggy jeans. So, thank you.
They're like, oh, well. Hey, we weren't that dumb. They were very slimming for the thighs, the bell bottoms,
exactly.
Right? Yeah. You know what's interesting with the, you know, all of this war on women stuff that's been going on today? Designing Women was such a feminist show in its day, right? I mean, that was really...
It really kind of was. It's funny because my character was not, and Delta Burke's character was not. We were sort of shockingly, for the most part, shockingly backwards. But
yeah.
Certainly, Dixie and Annie's characters were definitely very outspoken.
Yeah, well, and of course it was the Bloodworth Thomasons were good friends of the Clintons.
Oh, very good friends, yeah.
Who created the show.
Yeah.
I mean, how are you feeling about that? We were just saying, I have never seen a level of anger among women in terms of all of, you've heard of these comments, right, Todd Akin saying,
yes.
You know, legitimate rape, yada,
yes.
Yada, yada.
Yes. No, it's boy, do you have 2 hours?
Yes, for you I do, yes.
It's, you know, the thing is, I mean, you know, you realize at some point that there are some basic philosophical differences, obviously, between the right and the left, and you just say, you know, basically what it comes down to, I am my brother's keeper or I'm not my brother's keeper, okay? And so whichever way you believe, that's just the way you believe. But it's interesting that the side that is always waving the Bible and calling themselves the Christians are the ones who don't live their lives or speak like Christians.
Yeah.
It's become so mean-spirited on the right that I can't, it's hard for me to even forgive anybody anymore if they even align themselves with the Republicans. I mean, I don't know how you can be even a thoughtful, intelligent person and even get those words out, say, I'm a Republican.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, I agree. Today's version.
It's just gotten insane.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think this particular guy, Todd Akin, I mean, the problem is he didn't just misspeak one word. This is their whole platform toward women. And it literally, I don't know how many women I've heard say, oh, my God, I feel like I just woke up in 1952.
Well, I mean, no, and as I said to my husband yesterday, I said, I'm sorry. If you legitimately believe that, if he really legitimately believes that scientifically what he said is true, how did he ever even graduate high school, let alone become a United States Senator? It is how anybody like that could end up in the position he's in is jaw-dropping. I mean,
yeah.
He's
apparently been blinded by
just
science.
Just from a scientific, yeah.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, I don't think it says that in the Bible.
Right, well, you're right. It's almost, which is worse? Is it more anti-science or anti-women? You can't
yeah,
really tell anymore.
It is equally as infuriating to me. I just...
And by the way, isn't that like the setup for a sitcom? Is he's on the House Science Committee?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that's right.
Yeah, you can't write this stuff. You really can't. You can write stuff like Recipe, which Gene Smart is. It's this Sunday at 8 o'clock at
the
Will Gear.
It's a great fundraiser for the Theatricum Botanicum. Gorgeous outdoor theater.
And what a cast.
Yes.
Gene Smart, Wendy Malick, Andy Madigan, Lisa Bonet, Cloris Leachman. And we have a link up on our website, StephanieMiller.com.
Can I suck up to Gene Smart for 5 seconds?
Oh,
and
for God's
just
sakes,
just 5 seconds? As
a
theater kid, I want to say that it's very rare we find great monologues in cinema, and I think Gene Smart has the best monologue of any woman actor in American cinema in the last 20 years, with a monologue she has in a very little scene film that she's amazing in called Guinevere, with Stephen Ray.
Oh, thank
you.
You
know the one I'm talking
about.
You know the monologue I'm talking about.
I certainly do.
She tells off her young daughter's much older lover.
Older men with younger women.
And it's the best monologue of any woman actor in American cinema in 20
years. Sounds like that came from the heart, Gene Smart.
You know, it's true. Maybe I can throw that monologue into the play this Sunday.
Yes. Go ahead. Go
Thank
improvise.
You.
All right. Gene Smart, always a pleasure, honey. Talk to you soon.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right.
She's so brilliant.
Yeah.
She is indeed. 49 minutes after the hour. We're back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, that woman's about as subtle as a rhinoceros horn up the backside.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 53 minutes after the hour. Sexy liberal John Fugel saying in the D.C. Bureau he'll be filling in for Bill Press tomorrow morning. Very exciting.
As he did this morning.
And I was doing this story. Did you see this, John? Tweets will take over the screen during Kern TV's convention coverage. I'm sure you'll be doing this. Al Gore will be leading the network's coverage from New York with a lot of the other hosts. Jennifer Granholm, Elliot Spitzer, Cenk, and probably John, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But your analysis of the live footage from the convention will occupy less than half the screen. On the right side, we're going to be having curated and live updating Twitter lists.
Oh, that's great.
Wow.
But do not cover the fabulous John Fugel saying hair. Whatever you do, keep that Dr. Dreamy hair.
Less than half the screen is very fair for our viewers when it comes to me.
It's going to be like Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah, exactly.
Mystery Science Tweeter.
Wow. Hey, John Fugel saying, your friend Rosie O'Donnell, did you see she got a get well tweet from Donald Trump?
I sure did. Isn't it nice to see Donald Trump not fighting with a girl?
Yeah, this is amazing. He over the years has called her degenerate, a pig, a loser. He learned that she suffered a heart attack earlier this month, and she said, Rosie, get better fast. I'm starting to miss you. She tweeted back, well, thank you, Donald. I must admit your post was a bit of a shocker. Are you trying to kill me? Somebody's saying maybe there's hope for Israel and Iran. Who knows?
Yeah.
Jim, the porn industry is shut down here. There's a syphilis.
Yeah, I've heard that.
We got a syphilis outbreak.
We got a porn star down. A porn star is down.
Well, I mean, that whole industry is really dead anyway, because everyone with the camera, you know.
Everyone with a webcam.
Is that news, a porn star going down? Seriously?
Really? See what you did there?
All right. Okay. Hey, everybody can relax. It looks like Anderson Cooper and his boyfriend have kissed and made up.
I was so worried.
He can go on now.
Seen making out with him. Not Anderson, the boyfriend, another guy. It's not important.
It wasn't Richard Quest. Oh, he's so disappointed. He's so disappointed he had to go to the park and put his trousers around his ankles. Put the rope around his willy. Oh, there's the queen.
No, Anderson Cooper's boyfriend was not making out with Richard Quest. Okay. John Fugel saying, you know, we had a tragedy out here. Tony Scott, the famous director, jumped off.
Very sad.
Yeah, and anyway, they're still looking for answers because obviously word was that he had brain cancer and then
his family says no.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was planning a sequel to Top Gun. It was the Vincent Thomas Bridge out here. I didn't know this. You know this? This is kind of weird. It's been used in a lot of other action movies, his.
Mm-hmm.
But it was used in Gone in 60 Seconds and To Live and Die in L.A.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ironically,
I think it is the biggest bridge that we have here in Los Angeles.
Yeah. I thought it was in San Pedro. I didn't know it was in Los Angeles.
San Pedro is a part of Los Angeles.
Yes. Oh, well, Los Angeles County. Fine.
No, it's a part of Los Angeles City.
I didn't even know that.
It is.
Yes. Wow, it's a huge town you got there.
It is.
Yes. Hey, this is no surprise. Noted douche nozzle Representative Joe Walsh is defending noted douche nozzle Representative Todd Akin.
While
he agreed that Akin's words were offensive, he said he's bothered by the Republican response. That's the real tragedy. He said, I'm bothered by this rush to pile on, and I'm bothered by the silence of our members of our own party to stand up for him.
Wow. Mm. Yeah, it's a shame how they really got in his case for hating rape, and hating women and going easy on rape.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay, let's go to Jen in Ohio. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Stephanie. Love your show.
Thank you.
The only problem is I don't get anything done between 9 and noon anymore.
Good.
Our work is done here.
Unproductivity. We highly recommend it. Thank you. All right, go ahead.
I was just calling in reference to the fact that Mitt Romney is getting 0% of the African-American vote.
Yes.
When you look at him at his rallies and walking the line, other than the security, you see maybe one, two black people. Other than the one clip of him with the group of youngsters and the song singing is Who Let the Dogs Out?
Yeah, that was unfortunate.
In Ohio, they're trying to have Obama get 0% of the black vote.
Exactly.
Those numbers tell you exactly why they're going to such lengths to suppress the black vote. All right, kids. Oh, I'm sorry. I got my bump music and your bump music. Go to sexyliberal.com.
We'll use yours.
Sexy Liberal on Facebook. John and Hal and I have shows coming up in September. And then at the big one in New York City with Aisha Tyler as well at the Beacon Theater. Get it. John Fugel singing in tomorrow for Bill Press.
And today would have been Keith Moon's 66th birthday. So throw a chair out of a hotel window.
All right. Awesome. Thank you, John. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.